Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for all that you have provided and all you've done for us, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to be here today, that we're healthy and we have the ability to be here. Lord, we just pray in Jesus' name that your hand and your power would be on those that we've mentioned here this morning and those that we haven't, God, that those that are in the hospital, those that are suffering a loss in their family, God, that you would reach down with power and with love and just give them, Lord, a sense of peace and comfort that can only come from you. God, as always, we ask your blessing on this time together, that it might make a true difference, not only today, but in our lives and in the lives of our children, and furthermore, eternally in the lives of many. We love you, Lord, and again, we thank you for who you are and what you're going to do. As we gather in Jesus' name, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. The choir was up here a few minutes ago singing a song, "Come Unto Me, I Will Give You Rest. Take My Yoke Upon You, Hear Me and Be Blessed. Come Unto Me, My Yoke Is Easy and My Burden's Light." That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? That sounds pretty good, particularly coming off Christmas. Good grief. It's been a whirlwind for weeks now, and it's just a little time to maybe decompress a little bit, and we're starting a new year, and things are getting back to whatever normal is now. It can be a very stressful time with all that goes on and all the plans that have to be made, and we need to know this morning that Jesus offers something that's good, something that's easier, something that's better, something that's right. Amen. Okay. Where do I sign up for that, preacher? Okay, it's right here. Okay. His way, turning it all over to Him. All right, that's what He's talking about. That's His plan for you and me, that we would be blessed, and that burden that we carry. The West is talking about the burden of sin being changed, or whatever the burden of anxiety, whatever it is you might have carried in this morning. Listen to me. He wants to take it away. Let Him handle it. If that ain't true, nothing is. We'll just give it to Him. We're going to talk about a way to begin to do that, one of the steps toward that this morning. I want to ask you or invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 6 this morning. Luke chapter 6. As Jesus is speaking here. Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 39. Begins and says this. He also told them this parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take that speck out of your eye," when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word this morning. Over the past several weeks and months, we have focused in taking a look at some firsts. All right, we've looked at many firsts in the Bible. One of that we've looked at is the first thing that God did all the way back in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light.' And there was light." These are the first things God said. These are the first things that God created. That's key, that God said, "Let there be light" first. It was the first thing that He had to say. And so we'll come back to that a little bit later. But then we moved on to, what's the first thing in the law? What's the first thing God would say to His chosen people? And in Exodus chapter 20, as Moses began to receive the law from God, it says, "And God spoke all these words. He said, 'I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. That was the first thing that he wanted to establish. You shall have no other gods. I'm the one who saves you. I am the one who has saved you. These are the things that he wanted them to know first. We looked very in-depth at Jesus' Sermon on the Mount and how it began. This won't be on your screen, but listen very carefully. Jesus began, the first thing he wanted people to know in the Sermon on the Mount was Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Just a handful of firsts. Today we see another first. It's not the first thing Jesus said to this group of people. It's not the first thing in this particular discourse. But the words actually come out of his mouth. He says, first, take the plank out of your own eye. That's what I want you to do first before you start going to work on somebody else's eye. First, take the plank out of your own eye. In other words, first, go to work on me. I want us to begin together. I want to try to institute or initiate what I'm trying to say, whether it be called a campaign or a mission or a call to action this year as a church, as families, as individuals, this family in together, okay? I want to call us to a campaign together in 2014, and it is just simply working on me. Okay, I'm going to work on what God would have me to do in my heart, in my life, in my work. Okay, I'm going to focus inward. We've spent the last month, 6 weeks now, working on complaining. Okay, and I hope you're sticking with that. I hope you're diligently not thinking, okay, Christmas is coming and gone. I can go back to complaining now. I'm ready. I hope we're not doing that. I hope you're sticking with it and continuing to work on eliminating that from my life. I want you to get a little personal testimony. And this is very short, but I got to tell you, this has been one of the greatest blessings I've had in a long time. Just not complaining. Just working real hard on when I feel myself starting to go that direction. I just don't want to stop myself, all right? Because I believe it's God's will. And when I've started to have all that negativity and stuff stirring up in me, and I stop and begin to be thankful, and I focus on how good God is and how I've got it made, you know what? It's just changed my outlook on life and everybody around me, and everything's better. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay? And I want everybody to know that that touch, that power, that hand of God on them like that. I hope that you'll continue to work on not complaining. And it's just going to be great for everybody if we stick to it. Let's use that then as a stepping stone, okay? It's a good place to start and maintain. We don't remove it. We begin to stand on that foundation. And the next thing we do, the next step is, as a church individuals, let's work hard on, concentrate on working on me. Right? The whole idea is, you know, you take that microscope that we tend to point at everybody else, okay? I remember in school we'd use microscopes sometimes in science class, and you could look at lots of things and you get a real close-up look at them, you know, whether it be a single-cell organism or a hair that you plucked out of your head, you put it in, you could look real close at it and shine the light on it, okay? Keep going with that. Shine the light on it, and you could see its imperfections, all right? You could see what was wrong with it. You could see what was unique about it and that sort of thing. What we're talking about is just taking that microscope, and instead of turning it on something else, we begin to turn it on our own hearts, our own lives, our own attitudes, our own thought patterns, our own walk, okay? We turn it inward. First, we take the plank out of our own eye. You go to the doctor, and there's a lot of coughing and sniffing going on. Y'all been to the doctor. You need to, some of you, okay? What's he going to do? He's going to take an instrument that has been created for that purpose. And what does it do? It does two things. It shines a light, and it also is like a microscope. It magnifies. He's going to stick it in your ear, and he's going to look and see, and he might stick it in your nose, and he's going to look in there and see up close, and then down the throat and say, aha, there's the problem, right? There's the problem. That's something we got to fix. What Jesus is saying is take the instrument of the light and the magnifying power that is in God's Word, that is in His way, that is in His teaching, and first, turn that toward yourself.
yourself. That's powerful. That's very helpful. It's a good thing.
All right? It can only be a good thing. I want to go ahead and put the hashtag up there. Put both of them up there.
Well, maybe institute this. We'll start this sort of thing. And somebody's like, well, what's that? Okay, what is the hashtag? And why is there a punctuation or spaces there? If you don't know, that's okay. As a matter of fact, you're probably better off. All right? You're probably better off if you don't have any clue what that is. It's certainly nothing to be ashamed of. But these things, put the other one up there, that are used on the internet to sort of compile and sort and put together comments and statements and helpful things into an area. And so a couple of hashtags that we might start to use is working on me and removing the plank. All right, something that we're doing to remind ourselves that that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to work on me. I'm going to first focus on removing the plank from my own life before I start taking an in-depth look at anybody else and what's maybe wrong with them. So we start to use those together so that we can be an encouragement and a help to one another. Listen to me. Realize, just for a minute this moment, realize what God wants for you. Realize what God wants for your family, for your marriage, for your life. Okay? Realize that what God wants for you is good for God. And what's good for God is good for you. What's good for God is good for your family. It's good for your church. It's good for your marriage. It's good for our country. Okay? What God wants is good for the kingdom. All these things are. It's good for everybody. Realize that what God wants for me and you includes you and I being more like Christ. Okay? We can all agree on that. That's what He wants. And it will result in good things. He wants that for you because that's the best thing for you. He wants you to be as much like Jesus as absolutely possible in this world. And that means, therefore, that there's some work to be done. Amen? In most cases, there's some work to be done. Realize that I am not perfect. And I might need some work. We've done this exercise before, but I think it's useful to do it again. We've got to realize that we're not perfect. Turn to the person to your left and say, you're not perfect. Turn to the person to your right and tell them, you're not perfect. Now turn to both of them and say, I noticed. Okay? This is not news to me. I already knew that. None of us are perfect. All right? The message here is that there's room for improvement. Amen? There is absolutely room for improvement. And Jesus says what you and I as followers of Him, of our Lord Jesus Christ, are to do first, and that is to focus and work on improving me rather than everybody else. Okay? That's what He wants us to do first. I've said a million times, I'll probably say a million times more, the why matters more than the what. So let's take a look at four reasons why this is helpful. Four reasons why it's a good idea. Four reasons why you need to be motivated about this. Okay, number one, it's biblical. All right? You know what? For me, that's good enough. All right? Bible says do it. I believe the Bible is perfect, and I believe what it teaches is always right. Okay, I believe it's always the best way, and I believe that the closer we get to that, the better off we're going to be. So the fact that it's biblical is good enough for me. So God's Word says it, so I will do it. All right, as a Christian, I want my life to be based as much as possible on God's words, on scriptural commands. Amen. I want my worldview and my attitude to be based on what the Bible says. Okay, God's Word says first, take the plank out of my own eye. To reference it in another place, Romans chapter 12 and verse 3 says this. It says, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, that's everybody, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself, right? You're focusing on self. Think of yourself with sober or sane judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. He says,
Focus on yourself with the right amount of judgment, the right kind of judgment. Turn that microscope, turn that light on yourself first so that you can see what yourself is like. And that last phrase there implies that we're not going to be able to do it alone. That we need God's help. He says, in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given you. We're not going to be able to evaluate ourselves properly or become more like Christ or to fix some of the problems that's in our life. We're not going to be able to remove the plank in our own eye without some help. Amen? If it was that easy, it'd already be gone. It'd already be gone. We can acknowledge we're not perfect. We can acknowledge we're not fully mature, but that there's some work to do. And we can acknowledge that, you know what, we're going to need God's help to do that. Now, just sat down this week, and I wanted to give us all a tool to help us do that. And so in your bulletin this morning, you'll find it, all right? It's right there in the middle of the announcements section of your bulletin, and this is just something that I put together so that we can all work on this together. And it's just a simple daily prayer. This will be online by tomorrow morning, but you can take this and put it in your Bible and put it on your nightstand or whatever, on your breakfast table, whatever the case may be. And I want to encourage you to use it, okay? This is a daily prayer that says simply this. Lord, help me to see myself as I truly am. Help me to see what is good, or what it is about myself that you would like to see changed. You, God. Right? What it is you would like to see improved. What you would like to see removed or added. Lord, life was important to you so that the truth could be seen, and you are truth. I ask that you shine the light of truth on my heart and life, that I might see the truth about myself and respond with faith and hope in repentance and its change unto your perfect will. I thank you for the goodness that lies ahead this year in which I dedicate myself to your plan for me. Okay? Amen. That's just a good prayer that we can begin to pray every day where God would help us to see and to remove the plank in our own eyes. Nobody wants to be called a hypocrite. Amen? That's about as ugly a word in the Christian language as you can possibly use. Jesus actually uses that word here in verse 42 of Luke chapter 6. He says, you hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye. Why in the world would Jesus use that particular term? Okay, Jesus' own word says, you hypocrite. Okay, what it is to say here is that if we think we're capable of evaluating others, all right, having not first turn the microscope inward on ourselves. If we think we're capable of seeing clearly what's wrong with other people without first working on ourselves, then we're wrong, okay? That's what he's saying. Here's kind of the way that ends up working, okay? As a follower of Christ, as a Christian, if I've given my heart and life to Him, if I follow Him, He is my Lord, my Shepherd, my Savior, okay? If I claim that name, and that's what we all do, right? I am saying that I follow Jesus, and what He has said, I am doing. He is my Master. If then, therefore, as a Christian, I begin to criticize or to focus on other people's faults, what I am saying, if I'm calling myself a Christian, is that I have already evaluated myself and removed the plank from my eye, and now I'm ready and able to see the speck in yours. And if I haven't turned the focus inward first, then I am a hypocrite because I haven't, and I'm not with you. So if I begin to criticize somebody else, just to say it again, and I haven't criticized myself first, then I'm down a lie. Because I claim to do what Jesus says. He calls us a hypocrite if we're not careful about this particular situation. All right? The thing about all this is this. All right? It doesn't mean that sin is okay. The world has a tendency to say, well, you can't criticize me, my choice and my life and the things that I want to do with my family, my home, whatever the case may be. It might go against your Bible. You're not allowed to say that it's wrong. Okay, no, that's not the case. What's wrong is still wrong. You and I didn't get to decide that. God did. Amen? All right?
the world has a tendency to go back to this particular section of the Bible and say, see, you're not supposed to be judging other people. The Bible says, your Bible says, that you shouldn't be judging other people. See, they want to throw out the part that it says what they're doing is wrong. They say, well, that part of the Bible is, I don't really believe in that. I don't think it's true. I think it's old and antiquated and doesn't really apply. But that stuff about you not judging me, that's gold, okay? I still like that part. That's what the world has a tendency to say, right? We're going to talk about the difference here. Well, let's just talk about it right now. Here's the thing. What Jesus said is first take the plank out of your own eye, not so that you can point out the stake in that person's eye, but so that you can help them get it out. That's it. Just point it out and walk off, not Christian. Just proclaim it, nothing about it, not Christian. The reason for having so that I can be a help to others who have something at home. Follow on that. Right? So it's not okay to have sin in the world. It's not okay for anybody to have sin in their life. Let's not confuse that. But it's not okay for you and I not to work on ourselves first. Second reason why this is a good idea, listen to me, it's good for your relationships. It is absolutely good for your relationship. If you're working on you, if I'm working on me, rather than trying to change the way other people act and talk, if I'm trying to be a better person and God is helping me because I'm asking to, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to be a better person, all right? And you know what happens when I'm a better person? People are going to like that, okay? People are going to see that and they're going to be drawn to it and they're going to like me. My relationships just got improved because I'm working on me. Y'all follow me on that? Y'all awake? Alright? They just got better. Secondly, I'm going to like them better. You know why? Because I'm focusing on me, not them. I'm not aggravated about what's not perfect about them. I understand them because I see how imperfect I am. Alright? Illustration, I've used this one to death, but I couldn't come up with anything else because I'm not very creative. Alright? Coming down the road, somebody in that left lane, again, doing 2 miles over the speed limit, again, going around that truck, again, it takes them 12 miles to do it, okay? And then they're from Ohio, and they're trying to get home, and I'm aggravated because I'm trying to get home, and they're in the left lane because 74 exits that way, and they got over there about King. All right, y'all with me. Everybody understands the picture. And I begin to think, well, this is not safe. I wish this is what comes out of your preacher's mind, okay? I wish the cops would pull people over. Piss, that's what I wish, okay? Forget doing 72. This is dangerous. But if I take that microscope and I turn it in, and I first take a look at the plate in my own mind, what I'm going to do is, what's fine? What will be there when I get there? What is it maybe I'm going to do? Maybe I'm just a little too impatient for my own good. That was third again. That will work on removing that plank. Relax. It's going to be okay. Furthermore, back off a little bit. And now I don't have that anxiety feeling toward that person. In this case, it's some truck driver who's trying to unlimit. In the next case, it might be your job. It might be your spouse. It might be your co-worker, whatever. And I don't have that gut-wrenching feeling of negativity about me and my relationship with him is improved. That's a good reason to work on me. Right? On both sides of the coin, Jesus wants us to have good fellowship with anybody and everybody. Right? So that's how that works. Third reason. Okay? The Bible teaches us very specifically. If I'm working on me, if I'm removing the plank, then I'm saving myself judgment. You'll save yourself judgment if you'll do this. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 31 says, but if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. In other words, if you went to work on you, you'd spare yourself the consequences of what needs to be worked on, okay? We'd spare ourselves the consequences of that plank, of that spiritual lacking, if we'd go to work on it, all right? Every single one of us can choose how we live.
We can choose our actions. We can choose the things in the Bible that we want to follow specifically, directly. And we can choose the things that we don't want to follow specifically and directly. In other words, we can all choose our own sins. What we can't choose are the consequences. That alone is God's. And with every sin, there is consequence. Every shortcoming, there is a price to be paid. We don't get to choose what that is. That alone belongs to God. But the consequences that we do and might and could suffer in our marriages, in our families, in our churches, in our work, in our finances, the consequences that we would have in all these relationships could be spared, the Bible says, if we'd first go to work on me and remove the plank from my own eye. Evaluate and judge myself appropriately. Finally, and this is the last one, if I'll do this, Jesus said it specifically in this passage, you hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly. See, it says you'll be able to see clearly, not to just evaluate or judge somebody, but to be a help to them. You will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. In other words, we'll not just be able to see clearly the faults of others. We'll not just be able to see clearly the shortcomings of them, but we'll be able to see clearly that these people, these situations, are to be prayed for, not argued with, okay? Not yelled at. They're to be sympathized with, not held in animosity. You'll be able to see clearly that, you know what, compared to some of the things that I've already worked on in me and looked at carefully because I've looked at with the light and magnified in me and I've seen what God's done, compared to some of the stuff that I've already plucked out of my own life and compared to some of the stuff that I see is still there, what this person's got going on is really not all that bad. All right, that's what you'll be able to see clearly. Is they're not the devil incarnate? Because you know what? I'm pretty wretched myself. I'll be able to see that clearly. All right, I'll be able to see clearly God's grace. Amen. If I can do this, if I see the plank in my own eye and get it out, oh, by the grace of God, I saw it. By the grace of God, He didn't strike me down for having it. By the grace of God, He helped me get it out. By the grace of God, He helped me. I'll be able to see clearly God's love. I'll be able to see clearly God's plan and His perfect will. I'll be able to see all that clearly. The Bible promises that. I'll be able to see clearly just how good the Lord is and just how much He has already blessed me and He loves me. Amen? And when I see clearly, I'll be able to see clearly that He deserves all the praise and all the honor and all the glory that I can give Him every single day of my life. I get to that point, I'll be blessed. Take my yoke upon you. My burden's easy and light. It's what we're striving for. It's what we're doing. It's what we're going to see happen by the grace of God in 2014. Amen? Pray with me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, as always, we thank You for the power and the promise, the perfection of Your Word. And Lord, we praise You for Your presence amongst us today. You got us here safely. You saw fit that You might speak to our hearts, that we would see clearly what You would have us to do next. God, we believe together this morning that You have something awesome in store. We believe that You want the next week, the next month, the next year to be the best we've seen yet. And because You want that for us, because You love us that much, because You are that good to us and for us, You said, listen, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll be able to see what comes next. It is our prayer this morning, Lord, that You would help us to do that. That You would convict us on a daily basis to pray that You might reveal Yourself and Your plan to us. that you might reveal what you would have us to see in ourselves, so that we might be better examples of what it means to follow Jesus Christ in a world that so desperately, in families that so desperately, in schools that so desperately, in workplaces that so desperately need you. The only way we can make that difference, you have said, is if we first remove the plank from our own eye. We know it'll be good. Lord, my prayer is always this morning, is if there's anyone among us ever, if there's anyone among us who says, you know what, the biggest problem I got, this big plank sticking out of my eye, is my own sin. It is the fact that I have not given my life to you. It is the fact that I have not received forgiveness. Lord, I pray that they would look at that and see that as their immediate need, what they must do first, and that first step would be taken out of this aisle and down to this altar today, that you might remove the burden of their sin from them and give them eternal life. That would be the first step for them. May we all take the first step. For us, in your power, and unto your name, so that you be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray.